Hey guys, welcome to episode 11 of Wickedly Weird with Jerry and Amanda. I'm Jerry.
I'm Amanda.
It was a process of elimination. I figured it out.
Yep, I could have went by a different name, but I decided not to.
Well, Amanda, we tried to do this last week, but my voice was so horrible. We had to duck out after like 5 minutes. We just saw that it was not going to work.
No, it was pretty bad. It wasn't
you
good.
You gave me some witchery.
I did.
Of some stuff to try. I tried it once, almost vomited.
It's not even that bad. It's really not. How much honey did you put in it?
I put what you said, 2 tablespoons.
Yeah, I do more than that. But I gave you a range. I do more than two because I like it a little on the sweeter side. So it almost tastes like apple juice. But you still wouldn't have liked it because you have to put cinnamon in it. And then you cut the lemon. And you're supposed to put a whole lemon in there, too.
You told me half a lemon is what you told me.
Yeah, half the lemon. You let it sit in the water.
I just squirted the juice in. I didn't go with all
negative.
The slicing it and stuff.
No, you slice it, dice it, put it in there. You just have after it. I drink it every day. You know what I don't have? Do you want to know what I don't have? A voice problem or sick. I don't have a cold. I got nothing. The cold see me coming and they're like, nope, not her. She's got that weird stuff in her system.
Yeah.
You didn't like the way it tasted?
I thought it was so good.
Oh my God, I love the way it tastes. Ugh. Ugh, because I grew up on it. That's probably why.
Probably. It's a Northeastern thing. So.
Meow.
Amanda, I've got a story tonight that involves jewel thieves, a mysterious death, and the paranormal. How about that?
The paranormal? All right, buddy, let's go.
All right. So some people say that this story is more of an urban legend, but others say that it's actually been confirmed several times, including in the year 2000, where police records and witness accounts all matched up. That sounds like proof to me.
I need a picture.
The story goes back
to
the 1870s. Yes.
What if the water was contaminated with like acid and LSD and like these groups of people were drinking it and like they were hallucinating this stuff? Think about it. People
you haven't
crazy
even heard
back
the story
then.
Yet to even make the assumption.
But I'm making it right now. It's what I think.
All right, I'm just going to say it's crazy.
You're crazy. Let's go.
So the story goes back to the 1870s, and it involves a frequent traveler on ships that come from France to New York City. Her name was Ada Danforth. Now, Ada traveled with a little girl by the name of Fanchon Moncair.
What's her name?
Monser. Fanchon.
Wait, this is this little girl's name?
Yes, Fanchon.
That is a mouthful for a small child.
Car. Well,
Francois Van Helsing. Go ahead.
That's not it. So Ada Danforth would regularly explain that this little girl was an orphan whose parents had died in a fire.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
The story went that the little girl was eventually inherit a fortune on her 18th birthday. But until then, Danforth was her guardian. That's a good deal. Just kind of stay with the kid for a while and then get some of that money.
Yeah, but is she just using the kid in hopes that she gets some of that inheritance? Like,
that's what I would do.
What? You wouldn't be like, oh, I care about you so much. Or would you just care about the end result?
Well, I mean, I would say that. I don't mean I have to mean it.
God, that's terrible. You're going to hell in a handbasket.
All right. This really wasn't the case, though.
It was a fib?
Have you seen the movie The Orphan?
I do not. No, I have not yet to see that. And I should go see it, but I'm working my way in.
Do you know what the premise of the movie is?
Isn't she like a possessed little girl?
She's not possessed.
Family.
She's an adult that looks like a little girl.
Isn't that like like a true story though about that little girl that this family adopted from like a different country, yeah, Poland or something.
It's kind of based off of that. Yes.
Yeah.
That documentary is messed up, by the way, if you haven't
seen it. I
didn't
watch it because I don't want to even know. I am so good with watching that. It's bad.
You need to watch it. You would like it. I can't remember the name of it right off, but it's really good.
Ugh.
All right. Anyways, the little girl in this story, she was a dwarf who was actually in her late 40s, but she looked to be about 6 years old. In fact, the two women were just one of many gangs of international jewel thieves operating on these ships that would travel back and forth from Europe to the States.
Holy crap, they were international
jewel thieves. Damn. They were the best of the best, probably because of Fanchon Moncaire. She looked so much like a little girl that it worked out for their scam. So you ready for this?
Yeah.
She was born Estelle Ridley, but she adopted her name, Fanchon Moncaire, as her kind of like actors would have a stage name. She had a criminal name, and that was her criminal name.
Freaking awesome. This is my criminal name.
Not exactly something that I would expect to hear with the Crips and the Bloods, but, you know, that's just me. Maybe this will work for her.
What would be your criminal name? I have to think of a good one. If I had a criminal surname, I can't tell anyone because then what if I decide to go by it one day?
Oh, yeah. Well, that just goes without saying.
Yeah. So I can't say it.
What about your name on here?
Right now, I'm Mrs. Wiggles.
Right.
So
where does that come from, by the
Mrs.
way?
Mrs. Wiggles? I have no idea. I just thought of it. It was an ADHD moment. I was like, Miss Wiggles. All right, let's go with it.
All right, we're getting sidetracked. So the scam here is this woman that looks like a dwarf, she would act just like a little child. She'd skip around and smiling at all the adults, and she'd carry her little dolly with her.
I'm going to get sidetracked again real quick, but dwarfs have like features that like indicate that they're not like, do you know what I mean? Well, like, wouldn't she have features?
In the world of little people,
yeah,
there are different variations where you have some that have big heads and big hands compared to the rest of their body. But there are also dwarfs that are forms of dwarfism where they look exactly like a child. All the proportions. Oh,
like
are right.
That little girl that was in a relationship. Well, she wasn't a little girl, but did you ever see that whole thing? Some girl that was 22, but she looked 12 and was dating someone, and everyone was
I've
all
seen
pissed.
That,
like that,
that
kind
reality
of?
Show. Yeah, kind of like
okay.
That.
Okay. All right. Cleared that
so
up.
This,
thank you.
So this little girl would charm the wealthy passengers aboard the ship.
Don't like that.
I will point this out too. She was a fat little thing.
You
I mean, this little girl was super chubby.
Oh, she was a little roly-poly oly when they're that little.
But she was so cute, adorable,
mm-hmm.
that she would trick the wealthy guest on board to telling her exactly where they kept their valuables.
Oh, no, we don't do that.
I don't even know how that would work. Why would you tell a child where you keep your valuables, even if you think that's harmless?
Be like, hey, Miss Van Helsing. It's in the sink, under the sink.
You're on a Van Helsing kick.
I
just know for me, I'm not telling a six-year-old anything about my valuables.
No, so. Because it's going to be gone and painted on and stapled to something. You don't know.
All right. So once they had the info, Danforth, remember her quote-unquote guardian, would sneak into the stateroom while the guests were out and steal all their jewelry.
That's awful.
Then the fake little girl would hide the jewelry inside her little doll that she always carried. See, the doll had a removable china head, and it had a hollowed out body cavity.
Ew, body cavity. Don't say that.
I've actually owned a few dolls like that.
You have?
Anyways,
Okay, go ahead.
No customs officer would ever think to search a little girl's doll as they went through the customs gate. So once in New York, the two would actually get off the ship, not be searched. They would go to Chinatown to sell the jewels to other criminals. The little girl was quite different when she was away from the ships.
Oh,
she was still fat. She was still fat,
though. Smoking and drinking and being naughty.
She actually was. She, like I said, she was over 40. She had spent over 40 years in sideshows with the circuses.
So she was up to no good.
She drank and cursed like a sailor and smoked cigars. She was supposedly a great business person also. She drove hard bargains, which would net her the most profit on their heists as possible. Now, she and Danforth would spend a lot of time in the U.S.
This and is hilarious.
Why are you talking over me?
I'm sorry. You know, I can barely hilarious. Talk.
But
sorry, I like to watch a struggle.
She racked up on hauls of gemstones and pearls while they were stationed in the U.S. Their biggest heist ever brought in $250,000.
What is that in today's money?
I have no idea, but that's a lot of money even back. I mean, back then, that's hard to imagine what it is.
They were like millionaires back then. Jesus, what was this, 1800s?
Yeah, 1870s.
Jesus, they actually had security back then?
Yeah, different types of security. So that was $250,000 worth of gold, silver, and precious stones, all smuggled through the porcelain doll.
That's wild. Can you get those today?
What, those dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like the little porcelain ones.
Hmm.
You've seen them before, the little cloth, but then they got like the porcelain hands and heads.
No, I've never seen one.
Oh, Amanda, you have seen those dolls.
Where?
Do not.
You sound like a southern woman like gripping her pearls. I feel like I haven't.
Now, this could have went on for years.
Oh, God.
But they brought on an accomplice. I don't know why you would when you're making that kind of money.
No,
why
you just leave it out. No, because you don't know this person.
There's a young woman by the name of Magda, M-A-G-D-A, Hamilton.
Magda. That even sounds suspect.
So Magda and Ada Danforth had some conflicts of interest. See, both of them had their eye on this high-stakes gambler by the name of D'Artoni Crawling.
Get out of here. What's his name?
D'Artoni. D-A-R-T-O-N-Y.
That doesn't even sound real. That's probably
none of these
fake
names
name.
Sound real.
No, D'Artoni. I'm naming my next animal that.
Things got ugly when Moncaire offered this new chick, Magda, a 50-50 cut from the theft of a Chicago businessman. But she was only given a third of the money, which makes sense. There was three of them. Why would you think you're getting half? Well, Moncaire explained to her that, you know what? I'm the little girl. I do the bulk of the work around here. And I hide the stuff and I take the risk. So a third was completely fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hamilton was not very happy at all. So she snuck her happy ass, or I said unhappy, I guess, ass down to the police station and became an informant.
Oh, now, that's so dirty.
As you would expect, the next time the ship docked in New York City, the police inspected the doll.
Oh, no.
Moncaire and Danforth were arrested. Well, also, the new chick was arrested, too. But that was just part of the deal. And they went to a Manhattan tomb prison is what it was called.
That's still around
Moncaire,
today.
I don't know if it still is or not.
Hmm.
Moncaire, who had a previous rap sheet, was sentenced to a long time in prison. Something like life. So she wasn't getting out anytime soon. Because she had other stuff on her record.
So did they list what it was?
No, they didn't.
I wonder if it was
Danforth was jailed as an accessory and given 20 years. Hamilton became, because she was the snitcher, she only had to serve a short stint in jail.
Like, what's that though? Like, what's a short stint?
I think it was like a couple of months.
Oh, that's so dirty.
Now, during the trial, the tension was very evident in the courtroom. Hamilton was actually in the courtroom watching with a smirk on her face the whole time. And Moncara at one point, the little kid person, she jumped to her feet and screamed that she would one day have her revenge on the betrayer, even if it had to come from the grave.
Ooh.
So Hamilton served her time. And when she got out, guess what? She married the D'Artoni Crawley guy.
Okay.
6 months later, though, he left her to try his luck in a California mining venture. She was okay with this, though, because he left her a very generous divorce settlement, including a mansion that they had been living in. This mansion used to be owned by Fanchon Moncair.
What?
How about that for a twist? So Hamilton was a really good investor, apparently, and she made a very nice fortune. She became well known in social circles around New York City. Yes.
So she cut, like, she was done being naughty. She was like, I am.
Yes. Yeah, everything's legit now.
Okay.
But she, well, I'm sure she used money from the other heist that they were part of to be able to do this, though.
Right. Hmm.
This story is about to take a strange turn, and I'll tell you about it.
I mean, how much stranger can it get?
Right, it does. But I'm going to tell you about it right after a quick sponsor break.
Okie dokie.
All right, Amanda. Some years later, it's the very early morning. Hamilton wakes up. She's in her nice little mansion. She just was having a heavy sleep. And when she wakes up, she sees Fanchon Moncair standing at the foot of her bed. My guess is she probably could only see like the top of her head.
Dude, how creepy is that?
Well, it's pretty creepy. And you got a 3-foot tall person standing at your bed.
Oh, no.
She was dressed like a little girl. And guess what? Holding her China doll.
She's dead, right? At this point?
No, this is just several years later. It would.
Okay. All right.
She was in prison. Now, right, though.
Okay.
She was freaked out at the sign of this woman. Now, she was showing some obvious signs of being older. She didn't look like the little girl anymore. She definitely looked older.
Like a teenager? Like fat. What?
She was still fat, though.
Oh, boy.
Hamilton quickly jumped up. She ran into the bathroom and she locked the door. And she spent the rest of the night in the bathroom on the floor. The next morning, she goes to the police station and she reports the incident. Now, she was pissed that she had not been informed that Moncair had escaped or been released or whatever the situation was. She demanded police protection. Huh?
They don't say like that she got out. Like, they don't say how she got there.
Well, this is where it gets fun. The confused police officer was like, hey, slow your roll, first of all. He pulled out a copy of the New York Sun, which was the local paper. On the back of the newspaper was an article that showed that Moncair had committed suicide in her jail cell several days earlier.
Oh, ew. So she was a ghosty girl.
That same day, Hamilton went and booked a trip on an ocean liner that was heading for Europe the very next day. She went out that night, had a nice farewell dinner with a couple of friends. She went home, she finished packing, and went to bed. But that following morning, her servants found her half-naked body dead in the bed next to her packed suitcases. Her jaw was locked open. Her eyes were bulging in extreme terror. and there was blood at the corner of her mouth. Now, a medical examination concluded that she had died by suffocation on her own blood as a result of having a heavy object rammed into her mouth.
Ooh.
The weapon was never found. Doll. There was a clue of sorts, though. Investigators were mystified by a clump of hair found in Hamilton's mouth. The type of hair that you would find on a child's China doll.
That's fucked up. Is that real? Is this a real story?
It's like I said, some people say it's an urban legend, but they even go back to 2000 saying they proved that this happened by eyewitness accounts and by the police reports. It's said that the Crawley Mansion, which is the mansion they lived in.
But Crawley, like Aleister Crawley?
That's Crawley. This is Crawley, like crawl on the floor.
Oh,
remember her husband's name was Daytona or whatever.
Daytona Bob. Okay.
It's said that the Crawley Mansion is still haunted today, not by Hamilton, though, but by the possible killer, Fanchon Moncur.
Oh, by the crazy friggin'
midget
person lady with her doll. Oh, my God.
Been seen by witnesses inside the house and on the widow's walk outside.
Ugh. Ew. And she's got her little doll.
She's got her little doll.
Oh my God. So this is funny. This is gonna tie in. I've been on an Annabelle kick watching all the Annabelles. And like that movie's freaky. It's like an Annabelle situation.
I mean, the doll doesn't seem like it was possessed. But
Annabelle was possessed by a demon of sorts, because when you go back, remember?
Yes, I remember the Annabelle stories.
Okay, just making sure you remember. But anyways, it was crazy people, and then they summoned a demon, and that's how it got Annabelle. Yeah. I've been watching and
that's freaky. Exactly nothing like the story, but yeah, that's fine. But
it works. I've got a Greg update.
There's no possessed doll in this story at all, so it doesn't work. The Warrens didn't show up, nothing.
I wish they did show up. They would have made a movie about it.
They weren't alive yet. That would have been hard.
Yeah, okay. I just did the math in my head. I do. I got a little Greg update. He's roaming the streets.
Okay, terrorizing. So we got a turkey that's roaming the streets. Nice.
Yep, and he's terrorizing. Let's see what else. What do you got going on?
We went to the Bell Mansion up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and spent the night. And that place was completely crazy.
Oh, did you see anything?
I mean, during the investigation, we saw stuff. And then our buddy, Dawn Sharp, she won a contest to be able to spend the night with us there. And me and Tracy were supposed to have this really cool big room. And we decided to give that to our contest winner. We had another contest winner that was going to spend the night, and there was only three rooms, but there was four of us. So we went out and bought an air mattress, and I was just going to put it in a random room. But the other contest winner saw some stuff during the night that freaked her out so bad, she refused to spend a night. So we ended up sleeping in the room she was going to have.
Did anything happen to you in there?
No, I fell asleep and I was out, but it was burning up. It was on the third floor. It was hot. Burning up. We had a box fan.
I would have been up all night.
And we couldn't even go to bed till like 3 because we were doing investigations at a place till 2:30 or 2 o'clock. And by the time everybody got out and all that, it was 3 o'clock in the morning before we went to bed. And I got up at 7. So, but for those 4 hours, I was out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dawn had some experiences down there. She got freaked out too. So she got to bed about 3, and at like 5, her and her husband got up and decided to leave and go to breakfast because they didn't want to be in there anymore.
Oh, it was a little wild in there, was it?
Yeah, she said it was a little wild. She said she could hear stuff down the hall that she thought was this the other guy staying there, Justin, but he actually stayed down on the first floor instead. So he was never up there in the hall.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Yeah, that place, everywhere you walk, you can hear it. It's all the original wood floors. It was built in the 1800s. It was a funeral home for 94 years.
Oh, yeah, baby.
They still have the embalming room there and everything.
Oh, did you go in there and talk to the demons?
I went in there and talked and there was some, we had, have you ever seen the cat balls that light up? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep. They're cool.
We were using those on the investigation, and you have to physically touch them or move them for them to go off. And it was sitting on one of the embalming tables, the metal embalming tables.
Nope. That's a hard no.
And nobody was around it. And there was no air in that place at all, as we've discussed. It's on the second floor. They had embalming table. The embalming rooms were on the second floor. Isn't that weird?
It's really weird.
And there's like a toilet thing there that they used to put the fluids down.
They found a
mummified bat in there last week that they had to pull out. This place quit being a funeral home back in 2018.
Oh, so it's like fresh.
Yeah, it's been a fairly recent since.
Why'd they shut down?
I don't know. They weren't really sure why they shut down. They thought that maybe the people that owned it was a couple of families that they just got a little older and just decided they didn't want to be in the business anymore.
Or the place was so haunted they said, fuck this.
That's possible too. But yeah, there was all kinds of cool stuff happening. But that thing got turned on a couple of times, and some of the other paranormal devices kept going off on a regular basis where they probably shouldn't have. So yeah, it was really fun.
That's so cool. I like your shirt.
Thanks. Nothing like having a bunch of horror movie killers on your shirt.
Yep. Makes you the superior on the podcast today.
Well, I guess that wraps it up for us tonight.
It's going to have to wrap it up. Yep. It is.
So, all right, guys, thank you so much. We know that some of you have been leaving some reviews. If you're listening and you like the show, we're still a new show. It will help us tremendously if you can leave a review.
Yes, so, reviews.
Go do that. Wickedly Weird with Jerry and Amanda. Leave a review. We would greatly appreciate that.
Yes, please.
All right, guys, we will talk to you next week, or I guess the week after, since it's bi-weekly.
Yeah. All right. Bye.